Okay.
Okay, good.
You good now?
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, good morning, everyone. We are honored to have Mark back. It seems like it wasn't too long ago, but I think it was, what, 5 weeks?
Father's Day.
That's what was that, 5 weeks?
Sure.
Give or take, whatever.
Give
it
or take
wasn't
a week.
Too long ago, but see, be careful what you ask for. He complained that I give him so long and he had worried and everything. So to help take worry off of him, I let him teach sooner. Was that nice of me?
Absolutely. I love
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you. But all kidding aside, he did an excellent job. We're honored to have
yes,
him
I
up
did.
Here. You know, anybody can really be taught to teach, but you can't teach anybody to understand the Word of God. And here's a man that does understand the Word of God, and he's going to bring it to us this morning. He's going to discern it and spit it back out on us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I would say open up, but Eddie already prayed for him this morning, so we're all open up, ready and set, and it's all yours, Mark.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Well, before I do anything, I'd like Pastor Don to stand up. We're going to sing happy birthday to our pastor. Come on.
Wait a minute. Go down and get the offering plate, too.
No.
I'll get a paper cup. That'll be enough.
Well, brother, you know we all love you very much, and I just want to wish you a happy birthday. And I can't sing, but I'm going to lead you in a... If anybody wants to follow up with me, we'll sing a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Don. Happy birthday to you. Amen, brother. I got a little gift for you when I'm done. That's always
the most painful addition of happy birthday.
Uh-oh.
Can I turn the lights off behind
you? Oh, sure. Go ahead. Sure.
All right, here we go.
All right.
I can't hear you still. Still can't hear you there. Now talk.
Hi. See, Sandy's my time taker-upper. But anybody that knows, I've been a member of the City of River Rouge Police and Fire Retirement Board for 20 years. And twice a year, we have conventions called MAPRS conventions. It's Michigan Association of Public Employees Retirement System. And what they do is we go to classes, and the speaker there, they always say they're going to do some housekeeping before they speak. And but I want to do a little housekeeping myself today. I know last time I spoke, the first 5 or 10 minutes were taken up. People were telling me how great a guy I was. And, you know, I like that so much, I'm just wondering if anybody missed a chance to tell me how great I am, you can tell me that right now. But, no? If no? Okay. All right. Thanks, but...
You're awesome, Mark.
Oh, there you go. Thank you,
Elmer.
Oh, okay, go ahead, brother.
He wants this to posterity.
Amen.
You say you're going to do something, you do it.
Hold on.
Amen.
Hold on. Thank you.
Say that one more time for the mic.
Oh.
Mark is a very faithful guy. A good friend.
Thanks, brother.
When he says he's going to do something... You can count on him to do it.
Yeah. And I told myself I was going to elicit the crowd for some thanks, and thanks, Fred. I appreciate it. And I realized when I listened back that I spoke kind of fast, and I didn't allow anybody to ask any questions. So if there's any questions, you can ask them right now. We'll get that out of the way. Okay. But, you know, I went through some of the old teachings, and everything has been covered. I mean, there's nothing that hasn't been talked about on Sunday mornings and that. So there's really... nothing. So I was thinking, what am I going to teach on? And immediately the Holy Spirit told me, for one thing, you're not teaching. I'm the one that's going to be doing the teaching. You're just going to be doing the talking. So whatever comes out of my mouth that is a teachable thing, it's not from me. It's from the Holy Spirit. But Sandy and I, every day we try to call her brother in Florida. And we go through a little devotional. We pray. We read the Word. And in trying to come up with something, being shown what to read, what to teach on or talk about, we ran across this verse, and it's in Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So I was thinking the ancient paths. So obviously, as I read some commentary, they're talking about God is telling, this is just before Jerusalem is destroyed and the Babylonians or the kingdom is destroyed and the Babylonians move in. And I think the Lord is giving them one last chance. That goes, you're at the crossroads. Which way are you going to go? Do you want to be destroyed or do you want to be blessed? And I think he's telling them, look back at what I've done for you for all these years. You know, and Israel through the years just gave up on God. You know, there would be some good kings, there'd be some bad kings. But even the good kings, there's always, they would leave pagan gods involved in that. And in correlation with that verse, just to let Pastor Don know, my bookmarks are Three Stooges cards. And so I always have to throw the Stooges in there somewhere. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 9, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people. So I think they kind of, even though their distance between those two verses are vast, I think they roll into the same thing. When that time comes to make that important decision, look back at what God has done for you. So what I'm going to do is, since I was Pastor Don's birthday, I'm going to use one of the things that Pastor Don is good at. Is we're going to do a little reviewing today. I really don't have any specific thing I'm going to talk about. What I'm going to do is just going to try and go through some scriptures that kind of let us remember what God has done for us. And I'm going to just kind of start with Israel and in the Old Testament. And right to the beginning, I'm going to go Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waves. So right back there, and we always talk about, that's the foundation of Christianity. That's a creation. Creation is always attacked by the secularism in the country and that. They always say, no, we evolve. But, you know, that's the most important thing to realize. God created the world. It's simple as that. And then as we go through Genesis, we have verse 3. Verse 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 24. It all starts with the same two words, God said. And it's just amazing that, you know, God doesn't have to sit there and use any Lego parts to put them together or anything. Because God says. And boom, things just started happening. And that's awesome that he could do that. And I was thinking, what would I say if I'm sitting there? I think, you know, I started just to put it in a comical board. I go, you know, I think Mark would say strawberry shake. You know, if I could say anything and bring something up right now, I think I would say Mark said strawberry shake. Then it would be right there, and that would be great if I could do that. But then it brings me to Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of his mouth. It's just amazing that everything is held together by a single solid word. And I don't see how you can get beyond those few verses and not just follow God as much as you can. And then, you know, we move forward in the book of Exodus after Moses has showed up. You got the plagues of the blood, frogs, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and firstborn. I can't imagine being in any of those situations where I don't see, once he bred the plague of blood, I'm done. You don't have to give me another plague. You can have them. They can go. I don't need to see all these other things. But just the fact of the power that God used through Moses and Aaron to free his people, that's another thing to look back on. It's just amazing. But still, even today, people just they fail to realize what God has done for us. And of all the things in Exodus, I've always marveled at this one right here. It's Exodus 12, 35, and 36. You got all these plagues and everything. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. It's just amazing to me. They put all these plagues on them and everything, and they're going out the door, and they say, hey, give me all your silver and gold. Okay, here. And they gave them everything they had. So when Israel walked out of Egypt, it was just amazing the wealth and the gold and the silver and the articles of clothing and livestock and everything. It's just amazing to me that they walk out of there with all that, and I don't even see how you can discount that. Then in Exodus 14:29 through 31, the parting of the Red Sea. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. So here we go. Boy, they're walking out of Egypt. They got their thing. They're fearing the Lord. You know, God is it. You can't. It's it. But 1 month later, it's amazing. It didn't take them long. Just 1 month later, in Exodus 16:12-14. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. 1 month later, they're grumbling. And I mean, they just got all the riches from Egypt. They've just walked through a wall of water on each side, and they're starting to grumble. You know why? I'm hungry. I'm hungry, I'm hungry. It reminds me of the Seinfeld. Georgie, I'm hungry. And he tells his mother, eat some Tic Tacs. But at twilight, you will eat meat, and in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. So there's another instance that Israel could look back at, you know, the ancient past. I mean, I know there's thousands of years separating, but once again, you look back at that, and you wonder, how could they just give up on God continually give up on God when all these things are happening? It's amazing. And, you know, God entered into a covenant with the nation of Israel. Be my people, I will be your God. That's just, you know, trust in me and do what I command. Just obey me. That's all he's ever asked you down through the ages is obedience. And I've always liked this one. Joshua 10:12-14. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies. As it is written in the book of Jasher, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for a full day. And I love this verse here. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. And that's amazing. God listened to a man. It's never happened before. It's never happened since then, according to that. It's just, how can you, you know, put that off to the side? The sun sat there for an extra day so you could defeat your enemy. But, you know, I'm sure it wasn't long after that. They just, once again, they just kind of shed them off to the side. And then Samson in the jawbone in Judges 15:14. Now, we've all heard about Samson, and to be honest with you, when I was first became a Christian, I just thought Samson was a comic book or something. I never realized that it was actually a Samson. So I started reading through Judges the first time, and I said, Samson. I go, there's actually a Samson? You got to be kidding me. I just figured it was like Hercules. You know, there was this one of my favorite movies was Hercules Unchained, and that's a long time ago. But there was a Samson. And amen. I always welcome comments from the audience. Just have at it. Samson said, swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves. Agreed, they answered. We will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes, led him up from the rock. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him, shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. I know that isn't just a national thing. That's just one individual. But the key word in there is the Spirit of the Lord took him over. And that is so key on so many verses throughout the Bible. You see these people doing these miraculous things, but it's always preceded by the words, the Spirit of the Lord took him over, or overtook him. And I think that's what we need to be looking for at all things, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter who we work with. We need to be looking for the Spirit of the Lord to guide us through everything. Then the next one here is David defeats Goliath. And once again, these are individual things. 1 Samuel 17:45-49. David said to the Philistines, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. He's not even going to beat him. I'm going to cut your head off. That's pretty strong words. You know, he could just say, hey, I'm just going to knock you aside. We're going to take over. I'm cutting your head off. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That's not just the Philistines. The whole world's going to know. So I'm sure once the word was spread that David cut the head off this Philistine giant, whatever the world known world was then, I got to believe it spread as fast as it could spread. I mean, obviously, there's no emails of that. Somebody got on a donkey and drove, you know, rode somewhere. Maybe a week later, a guy 10 miles down the road heard that he had his head cut off. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you unto our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle to beat him. I know with Pastor Don, I always have a running joke. We're always talking about running. They always go, Hogan, do you run? I goes, I walk fast on a treadmill. That's it. And everybody asks me, why don't you run? I goes, I'll tell you what. When I see somebody running that has a smile on their face, then maybe I'll take up running. But I got to believe. I take that back. I'm not going to run. But the thing about it is, I can just see David right now swinging his sling, running towards that giant with an ear-to-ear smile because he knows that God is on his side, and he's not going to need those other four rocks. He's got one rock, and it goes to where it wants to go. So even though I love that story, I'm not going to be a runner. I'll be a fast walker on my treadmill, and that's about as far as I'm going to get. But like I said, I just think this young, little, small kid, ear-to-ear smile, he goes, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to chop your head off. It's amazing to me. Once again, there's another story. And these stories just aren't hidden. I'm sure they're passed on through generation to generation to generation. And how you can discount it. And I know sometimes if you're not an eyewitness to something, it's hard to hear a story that you go, are you kidding me? This little kid beat the giant? I don't believe that. But guess what? It did happen. Then in 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah taken up into heaven. As they were walking and talking with Elisha, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. Now, I got to believe that's a story Elisha told till the day he was dead. I'm sure it's not mentioned, but... I got to believe that. Hey, I seen a horse come out of heaven and took Elijah away. Yeah, okay, sure. Or somebody, where's Elijah? This flaming horses and chariot, they just took him away. He's up in heaven. Yeah, okay, right. But I mean, I'm sure to the day he died, he's telling that story. He's telling that story. He's telling that story. So that's something that's passed down. And here we are, 2018. I'm telling about the story about Elijah being taken up. This thousands of years later. So it's not like anybody can use the excuse that they've never heard of it before, because they have. They've heard it before. Israel's heard it before. Even the unsaved now have heard those stories. Although it's surprising to me anymore that we have our Bible release. How many kids know nothing? I mean, we talked when Sandy made those things for Palm Sunday. She was passing out, and they go, "What is that for? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus, who's that? Who's Noah? Who's Moses? Who's all these people?" That's why it's such a great thing that the Bible release program here, Pastor Don and Pastor John, do a great job with it. And if anybody, when a time comes, if anybody has a free Tuesday, stop in and just listen. But stay hidden though, or else you'll be up here giving your testimony and you won't even know it. But no, it's fantastic. And if anybody, whenever we do an offering for the Bible release, it is so important. I mean, it's nice to give to other missions around the world, but it's vitally important. It's right across the street to teach these kids about the Bible, about Samson. So they don't grow up to be 30 years old and go, who's Samson? But it just give you a little plug there, brother. It's your birthday. And then we have the fiery furnace in Dan 3. We all know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this is it's amazing. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied and threw in the fire? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods. And then when these guys, we all know the story, they built up that fire so much that the guys that started the fire toast. I mean, this is a fire that I don't even think Pastor John could match. Pastor John likes to build a fire, but he's never burned anybody to the ground yet, so he's still number two when it comes to these guys.
Hey, he destroyed our grill when
he melted that thing down. I think if they do some investigation in the years ago into the fires in Allen Park, they got to look at the security cameras. Pastor John run around anywhere like that? That's what they found years ago. I think it was a volunteer. They found him. He was lighting the fires so he could get some overtime. So, I know personally when I'd be home and I'd hear a fire, I'd tell Sandy, goes, smells like overtime. So that was good. Yeah, it's overtime. But the thing about it is, even before they went in there, they told the king, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from the hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And that's a key thing as believers. We just can't believe when things are going good. What's that song? I think it's Mercy. Even if, and I know Ray's saying, even if you don't, he's still our God. He's still our creator. He's still our loving father, no matter what happens in our lives. Because, you know, what is it worth to save your body but lose your soul? So he is our king, always. Number 9, Daniel in the lion's den, 6. And like I said, these are stories that we all well know, but it's nice to rehash them, to review them, to, you know, bring them fresh into our memory. We don't know what's going to go on. Somebody might ask us about one of these things, and hey, you know what? We just talked about that. So, in the lion's den, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. I mean, he loved Daniel so much. He was so disappointed that he had to follow his own order and put Daniel in the lion's den. I got to believe he didn't get much sleep that night. In fact, I'm surprised he just didn't sit there. But he rushed to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually. That's key. Those are two key words right there. Serve continually. Not just when we feel like it or when it's convenient for us. We serve him continually. Been able to rescue you from the king, the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. I found out as you read the Old Testament, it's very important when you're talking to a king, tell him, I hope you live forever. That's the first thing you want to butter the guy up. I hope you live forever. You're really thinking, I wish you'd die tomorrow, but I want you to live forever. And then the king, okay, that's good. I found out, and it reminds you of whenever they see an angel, the first thing an angel says, don't be afraid. So they're not these little angelic things, you know, pointing these little arrows like Cuba. These are big creatures. I got to believe they're 9-10 feet tall, because the first thing they do is people hit the ground, and the angel, don't be afraid. Okay, whatever you say. But they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have ever done anything wrong before you, O king. And the interesting thing about that is we have Nebuchadnezzar with the fiery furnace, and we have Darius with the lion's den. Both of those pagan kings, when they seen what happened, put out decrees to that the God of Daniel and these guys are the one true living God. So just the way they lived their life, their testimony, had these pagan kings honoring God and believing in him. And there's a possibility that Nebuchadnezzar may have even kind of switched over and started believing in it. But that's the way we want our lives to be. That people want to follow Christ because of what we do with our lives, how we act in public or in private or anywhere we act. You know what? I'm going to believe in that guy because, you know, that's a pretty good guy. The thing is, you know, even after all this, to look back, they refuse to follow God's command. And it all ends up in the book of Malachi. They're sacrificing imperfect animals. The priests aren't doing anything they're supposed to do. They're just living for themselves, doing what they're supposed to do. They're marrying into other religion, other pagans. They're robbing God and the lack of tithes and offerings. And for 400 years, they never heard another word from God. And this is the last words that were spoken in the Old Testament. Malachi 4:5. See, I will send you a prophet, the prophet Elijah, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And here it is, or else. Those two words are never good. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. And then for 400 and some years, they hear nothing. Next thing that shows up, John the Baptist. Jesus shows up on the scene. What do they do to him? They crucify him. So I guess they didn't learn any lessons. And then, as things are starting to move into the Gentiles, Stephen comes up, first martyr. He just lays it right in their face, what they've done, how they've disobeyed God, that their religious traditions are terrible. They're doing what they do, they stone him. And that's pretty much, you know, I know my sister always does, you know, and wipes it off her shoulder like that. And God, I think God probably said, you know what, it's... And then we look into the conversion from Saul, and that's when things started turning to the Gentiles. So all through the Old Testament, and they were told to follow, 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 whatever they can, and they didn't. and they crucified Jesus, and they stoned Stephen, and that pretty much did it in for them. And that pretty much does it for the Old Testament. Which brings us to today. This is what I put down. It goes, never forget where you came from. Those are so many, you know, you hear athletes, celebrities all the time. Oh, I'm not going to forget where I came from. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, in the physical, me personally, I came from 189 and a half Haltner Street, River Rouge. It was a little apartment above where my grandparents lived. My dad were up there. They had no money. And that's where I was born. October 31st, 1952. That's how old I am. 189. So I don't know. It's kind of like a personal thing, but I'm just talking about like a physical thing. Anybody want to say, hey, where did you come from? Where were you born? I just kind of like, just to show, you know, the different, how we've come together as a crowd. You know, I'm from River Rouge. We have people from Southwest Detroit. We have from Detroit. We have, you know, people from everywhere. So that's physically, that's where I came from. Now, spiritually, where did I come from? Thanks for asking. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where spiritually I came from. I'm a sinner. I'm still a sinner, only saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:1-3, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So disobedience isn't just, you know, turn your back on God. You're serving the devil by disobeying God's orders. You know, sometimes maybe we really don't think about what we're doing. You know, God wants us to do something and we don't do it. We're actually serving Satan by doing that. So I think if we put it in that light, you know, we want to serve God all we can, but if we're not serving God, then we're serving Satan. We certainly don't want to do that. Thing is, though, in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's just hard to take in, what, you know, what we put God through, they put Jesus through, and that he still, in Hebrews, for the glory set before him, he suffered the cross. I don't know how many of us could actually do that. We could say we want to do it. Yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But to actually do it, that's a totally different story. It just, I thank God, you know, I thank God for Jesus every single day of my life that he chose to die on that cross for me. It's just, it's unbelievable because I ain't nobody. I never, you know, except for God, I'm just some old sitter by the side of the road, and that's it. But we also, we have a path that we look back on. I mean, I know we look at the Old Testament and that, but there's some things that have happened in the New Testament that we look back at. I mean, this is one that's really wild. Luke 1:26-38, the virgin birth of Jesus. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled and wondered, what kind of greeting is this? There we go. The only time it's ever happened, the only time it will happen, virgin birth. Even that is under attack continually by the world. How can somebody have a baby, you know, if they're still a virgin? Well, the Spirit of God can do whatever he wants to do. 11. We have Luke 7:22. When asked, what is... So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John that you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." So Jesus wrapped it all up into one little sentence right there, one little paragraph. That's what's going on. That's how you can prove. I mean, he's doing everything he said he was going to do. And how can you see this happening, be an eyewitness to all of this, and still choose to turn your back on Jesus and kill him? I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it in my wife. I've seen it in people in this church, how God has worked in their lives. Things physically have changed. Spiritually have changed. In the 13 years we've been here, I've seen lives change. So, you know, I don't need Jesus to tell me this, although I love to hear it. I've seen it happen, and you've all seen it. And as pastors, I know you've seen a lot more than we have, going into people's homes, demons and things of that nature, but it's happening. And I love it. And that's why I know Pastor Don talks about people going up in front of the church and giving a testimony. That's awesome. It's just a couple weeks ago after Ray taught, I was sitting in the pew and you know, you're telling me, go up there and say that. And you're thinking, well, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And finally I said, you know what? And it reminds me of Eddie, and you tell the story that you had the word and you didn't do it and somebody else did it. I'm going to sit there and goes, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what? I wish I'd have done it. So we had the young girl in front of us. Lizzie's friend just had the baby. I forget her name. So I couldn't get out. So I just kind of stepped over the top of the thing. I think I scared her. Because that's what Sandy told me. She goes, you really scared her. I said, well, I couldn't. That's the only way I could get out. And so, yeah, when God asks you to give a word, you know what? Do it. Because you're going to be bummed out if you don't. Let's put it that way. And then there was, well, the death and resurrection of Jesus. No more needs to be said about that. Death and resurrection, that's what we base everything on, because if he didn't, raise from the dead, then what, like Paul said, everything means nothing. Like I said, the lives that have been changed, you just see the people before and after their conversion, it's just like night and day. That's when, you know, if somebody asks me, how can you prove there's a God? I goes, well, for one, the way I live my life before and the way I live my life now, I can go to anybody here. I goes, Dwayne's proof that there's a God. Ed's proof that there's a God. Elm's proof that there's a God. Gabby's proof there's a God. Just look at who they were and compared to who they are now. That's only God. You didn't just do that because you felt like changing. It don't happen. And where it doesn't last, let's put it that way. Then, as we're talking about things that have gone on, in John 21:25, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And I know the whole world is, what do they call it, hyperbole or something like that. But hey, guess what? Who's to say what he did or didn't do? Who's to say for 24 hours a day he's off on his own doing things? But it's just to show you that Jesus was at work then, and he's at work now. So it's just remember, you know, we're all going to come to crossroads. We always do in our life. And if you know, sometimes a decision's not easy to make. We just have to look back sometimes. And I know Paul talks about leaving the past behind us. We move forward. I think what Paul's talking about there is our sinful past. Certainly, we don't want to remember any of our sins. Absolutely not. But we do want to remember the times when God helped us back then, and we can use that strength to get us through the challenges of every day. So, what I'm going to do? I'm going to finish off. We've been talking about the past and the present. I just want to play a video that's going to. Is about the future, and I think it's a future that all of us are looking forward to. You get that there, Ed, please? I think it's all set up. Just a quick 3-minute video. I really love this song. This is our future.
Gonna wrap my arms around my daddy's neck and tell him that I've missed him. And tell him all about the man that I became and hope that it pleased him. So much I wanna say, so much I wanna hear. I finally make it home. I finally make it home. Then I'll gaze upon the throne of the King, frozen in my steps. And all the questions that I swore I would ask, words just won't come yet. I'm so amazed in what I've seen, so much more than this old mind can hold.
Praise God. That's it, brother. Thanks, everybody,
Amen.
For coming.
Give him a hand.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. Also, we can't neglect the two ladies that stepped in today. Ashley and Rico are on vacation. Carol and Jeannie stepped in and made breakfast for us this morning. We appreciate it.
Amen.
Give them a hand. Thank you. It's very good. And don't forget, we have prayer down front. And, Mark, again, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Amen.